Hello and welcome to this latest Fraser of Allender podcast. My name is Emma Congreve and I'm joined today by my colleague Mary Sparridge to talk about what's going on in the economy this week. So today we've had another set of fairly jaw-dropping statistics on the economy, with the ONS putting out new stats on GDP, where they now have them for the whole of 2020, where we see an estimated 9.9% drop. So that was 2020, but how are things faring so far in 2021? So Mary, we put out a new business monitor this week that we've done in partnership with Adelshaw Goddard. How are businesses feeling overall about the prospects for 2021?
Yeah, so as firms look back at the end of 2020, you know, they're still fairly negative about what happened during that period. But it's worth saying that they are a bit more optimistic for the outlook than they have been. So we expect this to be linked to people's hopes of the vaccine rollout and that things might get back to more normal times. But we have been through a very negative period in the business monitor that we haven't seen since the financial crisis, and the lows of the height of the pandemic were even more severe than that. So whilst, you know, there is a more positive outlook, firms are highlighting a massive amount of uncertainty about that outlook. So slightly more positive, but a lot of uncertainty, and coming from a very low and negative base, I think it's fair to say.
Do we have a feeling about how people are feeling about Brexit? And how that's kind of interacting with issues around the pandemic? Are people kind of seeing things getting worse because of Brexit?
Well, it's kind of a mixed picture, because what we're seeing is those firms who might be most negatively impacted by frictions in trading arrangements, for example, are doing okay right now and are fairly optimistic about the outlook regarding the pandemic. So manufacturing businesses, for example, have been able to weather the lockdowns over the autumn fairly well. There's not been a high level of temporary closure in those businesses, and they've been able to adapt. So they generally, for the business outlook, feel fairly optimistic. The firms that trade with the EU, though, are fairly negative about the impact of the new trading arrangements that came in at the end of the year and into the 1st of January. Around 57% said it was had a negative impact on their trade. So this is around two-fifths of the companies who responded do trade with the EU. So it's a pretty big sample, but they were generally not very positive about the impact that this had had on their arrangements since the start of the year.
And one thing we've heard before in the Business Monitor is kind of concerns about how people in government have heard and listened and supported businesses through the pandemic. So how is this looking now?
Yeah, I would say that the views that business have over how the Scottish and UK governments have handled the public health crisis have broadly remained unchanged over the quarter. But ratings on how well the government understands the challenges that business face and supporting business through the pandemic have fallen again. So what we're seeing is that businesses are sort of getting, I think, a little less patient with government and are expecting a little bit more, that they're not really seeing the challenges that businesses face through these ongoing and ever-shifting restrictions. And whilst, you know, they're pretty split on whether support has been sufficient. Around 38% of businesses say it's been sufficient and 40% say it's been insufficient or very insufficient. So it is quite a split picture, but you can see that as time has gone on, the ratings for both governments have fallen. And generally on understanding businesses, the Scottish government has lagged behind the UK government a bit in terms of really understanding the challenges that businesses face.
That's interesting and might be of particular importance in an election year. So thinking ahead a bit, you know, we're still seeing stuff kind of talked about in terms of the future of work and the workplace, you know, and there are people saying, you know, businesses are just are never going to return, you know, to the office. But interestingly, in the Business Monitor, you know, we ask questions about how firms are finding home working, and they're not particularly positive.
No, I think we asked this before in the Business Monitor, and we want to keep asking this to see how businesses are finding it as home working becomes a more medium term reality for many businesses. And I think the businesses have been quite negative about the impact on how you can performance manage staff and collaborate. So, for example, around 63% of businesses said that home working had made performance managing staff more difficult. And that almost that number, just under 58%, said it had negatively impacted on productivity. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of studies in the years to come about how this period of home working has impacted on productivity, and also how it might change the way we work in the future. But the businesses we're talking to right now aren't particularly positive about the impact that this has had on productivity. Interestingly, we've been asking businesses about whether home working may lead them to reduce their office footprint. You know, thinking ahead to the impact this might have on town and city centres, and around 31% are now expecting to permanently reduce their office footprint, which is a slight rise on the previous quarter. A lot of the reduction office footprint is by fairly small amounts, but still, it's interesting to see that you know, such a large proportion of businesses are thinking about permanently changing the way they work. And how much office space they actually use. I guess overall, what I'd say is the story that we're getting through the Business Monitor chimes quite nicely with the ONS data that's been published today. So although we obviously are looking forward, what's clear is that there's a real sectoral disparity here. There are many sectors, particular sectors that have had a much worse time through this crisis, particularly those that are related to social spending. So in the ONS data that you mentioned at the start, whilst the overall economy shrunk by just shy of 10% over the year, you look at accommodation and food services, which covers pubs, restaurants, hotels, that shrunk by 44% over the year. You know, so you can just see how different sectors have experienced the crisis very differently. So we've wrote a lot about this, and also the impact that the crisis is having on different sections of society. So not only different sectors of the business community, but also different individuals and households. And related to that, in the last week or so, we've published some more research from our ongoing project on adults with learning disabilities, because this is a group that we've been concerned have. Have been, you know, having a particularly bad time through the pandemic. So just want to tell us a bit about that research, Emma.
Yeah. So as you say, last week we put out our latest report, which brought together some research we'd done into the system of social care support for adults in Scotland. So that covered actually the last sort of 20, 30 years, but with a, you know, particular focus actually about what's happened in the last year, because the pandemic really has turned everything upside down in terms of the type of support people have been getting in the community. So our report preceded by a report by Derek Feely, which was commissioned by the Scottish Government, looking at reform of adult social care in Scotland. And it also came out in the same week as some really sobering statistics from the Scottish Learning Disabilities Observatory, which is based at the University of Glasgow, that found that people with learning disabilities have been three times more likely to die from COVID-19 than the general population. And actually, ONS have put out some similar statistics for England, quite similar findings. So with ONS, they've looked into a bit more detail and trying to understand some of those reasons for why people with learning disabilities have got a higher risk of death from COVID-19, and there's factors such as that some of them, it's more likely that people will be living in care homes, but not all people by any stretch. There's also issues around the kind of socioeconomic and geographic circumstances, and the fact that many people with a learning disability do have a pre-existing health condition, but actually they found that none of those reasons explained it all, and actually that, you know, there is this kind of just general issue where people with learning disabilities are sort of disproportionately exposed to what ONS say is a range of generally disadvantageous circumstances compared with non-disabled people. So that really kind of, you know, makes us sit up and listen, I suppose, because, you know, this is, it's not just a group of people who are, you know, we said before, aren't particularly visible in society, you know, and we know that they struggle in terms of getting into employment and, you know, those kind of participating generally in society, which is really concerning. But the fact that they're also, you know, more likely to die from COVID-19 because of the way they're kind of sort of treated in society, you know, that's something that a modern society such as we have in Scotland, you know, should not be happening. So I think our research it's come along at a time where quite a few other things have come to the fore that kind of shows the issues at play and the fact that things really do need to change.
Yeah, I mean, these statistics are unbelievable, actually. And, you know, like many of our listeners, I find them quite shocking. So we've written before in one of our reports on in this research programme was called Scotland's Invisible People. We've kind of come to the conclusion that that people with learning disabilities do seem almost invisible when it comes to policymaking. Do you think this is going to change given these sort of quite stark statistics?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's been known for a long time that people with learning disabilities do have lower life expectancy, and that many of the reasons people with learning disabilities do tend to die early is because of, you know, things that are entirely preventable. So in a way, it feels like, you know, we've known this for a while. So will the starkness of the COVID statistics actually change anything? But then at the same time, the Scottish Government have promised reform of the social care system, and that, you know, that was why the Feely Review was commissioned. And there is, you know, alongside our research, there's plenty of other research around showing that people with learning disabilities, you know, do need to be a clear focus of these reforms. They are a core group of the population that draw on social care support. But I think there is a risk that that sort of older people and the issues facing older people will dominate the discourse, because I think they're much more visible as a population. And, you know, most of us may have, you know, parents or grandparents who are, you know, who need support from that system. So there is a bit of a danger that people with learning disabilities again get overlooked in this. But, you know, I think the visibility of some of these statistics and the reports that come out might help. And especially, you know, social care is going to be a big issue in this election. And it's, you know, probably it might get more prominence than it has before because of the timing of some of these things. So it's something that we will be sort of looking at over the next few months, as well as our other kind of work on the election. But it should be a big theme. Going into May.
Yeah, absolutely. So as Emma has mentioned, we'll be doing a number of things in the run up to the election to hopefully keep you interested and informed in the policy debates that are going on. So we'll be doing regular podcasts. We'll also be doing a webinar later in the month to kind of launch our election work. And we'll sort of set up a dedicated place on our website for all of our analysis that will be relevant. So look out for that. As Emma said, social care is likely to dominate as a large issue in the election. And I suppose our research and research from other organisations will try to encourage that doesn't just consider older people, but also working age adults with learning disabilities who do rely and benefit from the social care system. So thanks very much, Emma, for chatting this through with us today. If you're interested in subscribing to our podcast, you can do that on all the major podcast platforms. And you can see all of our articles about the election, about our learning disabilities work and everything else that we do at fraserofallander.org. So thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you again soon for another Fraser of Allander podcast.